the Word for Today. The Word for Today is a continuous study of the Bible taught by Pastor Chuck Smith of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Pastor Chuck is currently teaching from the Old Testament. And if you're following along in your Bible, we'll be continuing today in Isaiah chapter 37, beginning with verse 1. As we continue with a topical message entitled, Where to Go When in Trouble. Now with today's study, here's Pastor Chuck.
The book of Isaiah is composed of 66 chapters and is called a miniature Bible because the Bible has 66 books. The book of Isaiah is divided into two parts, interestingly enough. The first 39 chapters are in the first section, the second 27 in the second section, even as the first 39 books of the Bible are in the Old Testament and the second 27 are in the New Testament. The message of Isaiah, for all practical purposes, ended in chapter 35. Chapters 36 through 39 are history, important to the understanding of the prophecies up through chapter 35. Chapter 40 begins the new section of the book of Isaiah, and you will find these prophecies tremendously fascinating as more and more they center upon the person and work of Jesus Christ. Now, as we come to this particular point in the history where Hezekiah, the king of Judah, is in real trouble. Hezekiah was basically a very good king. He sought to bring the people and the nation back to God. He destroyed the idols that they were worshiping, the places where they had worshiped their idols. He had initiated many spiritual reforms. He was a close friend and influenced greatly by Isaiah, the prophet of God. During the time that Hezekiah was reigning, Assyria had ascended to the apex of its power, and the Assyrian kingdom was overrunning the world. The Assyrian army was defeating every force or power that it was faced with. Even at the present time, they have overrun Syria, they have overrun Lebanon, they've overrun the northern kingdom of Israel, and right now they are down destroying the cities of the Philistines. They're in the coastal plain. And while Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, is in his conquest of the Philistine city of Lachish, he sent his commander-in-chief to Jerusalem to demand that Jerusalem unconditionally surrender to the forces of Assyria or face complete destruction. The commander-in-chief pointed out the folly of trusting in Egypt as an ally. For he said, Egypt shall be broken and you'll only be hurt by trusting in Egypt. And don't be so foolish as to think that your God can help you against us. For we have destroyed all of the gods of the other nations. And your God is no different. He'll not be able to withstand the force and the power of the Assyrian army. So he said to the people, don't let your king deceive you into thinking that your God is any better than the other gods and that he can help you out of this destruction that I am going to bring upon you unless you surrender to me. He suggested that they go ahead and just surrender and wait until he would come, and then he would repopulate them in some other place that was nice to live and all. For it was the manner of the Assyrians to destroy the social structure by repopulating the people, just spreading them all over and sort of losing their national identity. So it was a time of tremendous trouble. The Assyrian army is a powerful army, and it has been subduing the world. And he has threatened to come and to besiege the city of Jerusalem until the people were starved to death. And so Hezekiah, receiving this message, realizing that his nation, his kingdom, was in real trouble, responded to this trouble by first of all going into the house of God. We read there in verse 1, it came to pass when King Hezekiah heard it, that is, heard the blasphemies of the commander-in-chief of the forces of Assyria, that he tore his clothes, humbled himself, covered himself with sackcloth, and he went into the house of God. You know, there is really no better place than the house of God to get your life in true perspective. As we live in this world and we are facing the issues of the world that is really in rebellion against God, it's very easy to lose sight of the eternal. It's very easy to get tunnel vision and only see that which is present. I can only see my present problem, and it looms so large that I can't see beyond it. I see no hope. I see no answers. And I become overwhelmed by the things in the world in which I live. The Psalm of Asaph. He speaks about how that he almost was wiped out. My foot almost slipped. I was almost gone. Because I didn't understand why God would bless wicked people. And here I am trying to live a good life and a righteous life, and all I have is problems. It seems like they have no trouble. They don't have problems like I have. They've got everything that their hearts could desire. And yet they only seem to get more. People bow and palaver to them. And here I am trying to do the right thing, trying to live the right life, and I have nothing but trouble all the time. And Asaph said, I got to thinking, you know, it really doesn't pay to live for God. It really doesn't pay to try and do the right thing. I've washed my hands in innocency. I've cleansed my heart in vain. It really doesn't pay. Because here I am trying to live the right kind of a life, and I have nothing but problems. And he said, when I sought to understand this, it was really too painful. I couldn't think about it. Until, he said, I went into the house of God. And there, I understood their end. Man, they're in big trouble. At any moment, God can wipe them out. And when they do, it's all over. It's total terror. They are living in a dangerous place. And when he saw from the eternal perspective the end result of the wicked life, then he said, oh, so foolish was I, so ignorant, I had lost sense of the eternal. I was thinking only like an animal. Oh God, really, I am so blessed. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel. And you're going to receive me into your eternal kingdom. Oh Lord, who have I in heaven beside thee? And there's really none on earth that I desire beside you. The eternal perspective. He gained it in the house of God. And that should be something that transpires every time you come into the sanctuary. It is the purpose and desire that while you are sitting here, you can come into the consciousness of the eternal. And some of you, even this week, have been pretty beat up by the world out there. Things have transpired that you don't understand. Trying to put things together, it just doesn't seem that it's right. And maybe you, like Asaph, have even come to the place where you're questioning, does it really pay to try to live a righteous life? Does it really pay to serve God, to try and do the right thing? Oh, thank God you've come into the sanctuary where you might get the eternal perspective and you might see things as they relate not to tomorrow and this next week, but as they relate to eternity. Get the broad view. He went to the house of the Lord, and then he sent his messengers to the prophet Isaiah to ask Isaiah to pray for him. These messengers came to Isaiah and they said, "Thus saith Hezekiah, today is a day of trouble. It's a day of rebuke. It's a day of blasphemy. I'm in trouble. I've been rebuked by this pagan king. He's blasphemed our God." And then he said, last part of verse 4, "Therefore, lift up your prayer for the remnant that is left. Pray for me." It is always good in trouble to not only go to the house of God, but to solicit the prayers of your friends. The Bible speaks about the effectiveness of others praying with you and for you. Jesus said, "If any two of you shall agree on earth concerning what you ask, it shall be given." James said, "Is there anyone who is sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up." For James goes on to say, "For the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." The scripture tells us that we should bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And so call on your friends to pray when in trouble. Now it is interesting that many times when a friend calls for prayer, we say, "But what more can I do for you?" As though we somehow, lack of faith, believe that our prayers are not enough. And when they say, "Well, just pray," we think, "Well, now, you know, I want to do something tangible. I want to come over and give you a hand. I'd like to, you know," and in reality, you can do more than pray after you have prayed, but you can't do any more of real value for them than pray until you have prayed. One of the greatest blessings you can bestow upon any friend is to pray for them. Now, a lot of times when you call on your friends about your trouble and they say, "Oh, that's terrible, I'll pray for you," we're disappointed. We say, we wanted them to say, "Oh, I'll come over and give you $100 right away, you know, to pay the bill and help you out, you know." And they say, "Oh, I'll pray for you." And it is tragic that we so often think of prayer as just sort of the last resort. You know, do all that you can, and then when everything else fails, pray. But that isn't the way it should be. We should recognize the value of prayer and pray first. "Oh, what needless pain we bear. all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. If you would pray sooner, you'd never get to the last resort. Oh, that men would pray. And so he called on his friend Isaiah to pray. Lift up your prayer. Now, he knew that the prophet could do nothing else. There's no help against the Assyrian army. Even the whole Egyptian army isn't sufficient. So he knew that there was nothing physically that Isaiah could do to help him in the problem that he was facing with the Assyrian army. He's calling, therefore, for prayer. The greatest thing that the prophet could do for him. For only God can help at this point. Now, he then prayed himself. And in verse 14 we read, "And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord, spread this vicious letter out before the Lord, threatening letter. And Hezekiah," verse 15, "prayed unto the Lord." Called upon his friends to pray. And then he himself, there in the house of the Lord, called upon the Lord. We first of all notice his addressing his prayer. It's extremely important, the address that you put on your prayer. When you write a letter, it's important that you get the right address on the letter if you want it to get to whoever you're sending it to. The address is extremely important. And thus in prayer, one of the most important things in prayer is the address of your prayer. When you pray, just who are you addressing your prayer to? Someone says, "Oh, my Lord." Well, pray tell, who is your Lord? Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord and you don't do the things I command you?" He tells us that one day people are going to be knocking on the door saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." And he says, "Who are you? I never knew you." And so when a person calls on their Lord, whatever it is that is mastering their life is the God that they're calling upon. And unfortunately, like the gods of the nations that have been destroyed by the Assyrians, they're not able to help you when you're in a real crisis. The Assyrian king said, "Hey, we've destroyed all the gods, those nations around you. They trusted in their gods. They weren't able to help them, and neither is your God able to help you." A person says, "Oh my God." Well, pray tell, who is your God? The Bible tells us that the heathen have many different gods. And if you've been living your whole life for pleasure, then when you say, "My God," you're talking about Molech. And you're addressing your prayer to Molech. But I'll tell you something, Molech can't help you when you really are down. If you've been spending so much time in trying to make a living, trying to get ahead, you're a workaholic. You spend all your time at the job. Don't have time for the Lord. Don't have time for church and all. Because I've got to, you know, get ahead. Then when you say, "Oh my God," you're really addressing Molech. Or Mammon. The god of power and money. So the address of your prayer. Important. You can't just say, "Oh Lord," or "Oh God." Because that may be the wrong address. You may be having the wrong God. You may be serving the wrong Lord. And so Hezekiah is careful in his address. "O Yahweh of hosts, the God of Israel, the one that dwells between the cherubims, you are God, even you alone. Of all of the kingdoms of the earth, you are the one who made the heaven and the earth." He wants to make sure it gets to the right party. He gives a lot of qualifications here. Yahweh of hosts, the God of Israel, the one that dwells between the cherubims, the only true God, the one who created the heavens and the earth. There are many gods, but there is only one true God. Many objects of worship by man, many lords, but there is only one true Lord, who shall be King of kings and Lord of lords.
Chuck Smith will return with a few closing comments. But first, I'd like to remind you that today's message is available in its unedited form on cassette or CD. Simply write or call and ask for ordering details on tape or CD number T3270. Again, that's tape or CD number T3270. As we come to a close in today's program, we'd like to recommend a resource just for women. Sometimes it's easy to get caught up in the hustle and bustle of Christmas. Buying presents, decorating, cooking, the list grows longer every day. Without realizing it, we can easily forget the true meaning of why we celebrate our Lord's birth. For this reason, the Word for Today presents A Season of Joy, an audio Bible study that reflects the true meaning of Christmas. Hosted by Kay Smith, wife of Pastor Chuck, Kay reminds us to spend time at the Lord's feet, despite our busy schedules. Guest speakers also include Elizabeth Elliott, Sheila Walsh, and Marge Caldwell, exhorting us to remember that it's through Jesus Christ that our season of joy can be peaceful and complete. Also, ask about Pastor Chuck Smith's tract entitled, How Can a Man Be Born Again? Available in both Spanish and English, this would make the perfect addition to Christmas cards or gifts. To order your copy of A Season of Joy and How Can a Man Be Born Again, call the Word for Today at 1-800-272-WORD or write to us at P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And remember, the Word for Today would like to assist you this Christmas in spreading the gospel of Jesus to your family, friends, and co-workers. Please call our customer service department to help you in finding that perfect gift that will reflect the true meaning of Christmas. And if you call right now and mention this radio ad, The Word for Today will give you a 20% discount on any resource carried by The Word for Today. Once again, that number to call is 1-800-272-9673. And for those of you that would like to visit our website, you can do so at www.twft.com. Or if you would like to email us, you can do so at info@twft.com. Well, coming up next time on The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck will be continuing his fascinating study through the book of Isaiah. That's coming up next time on The Word for Today. And now, with a few closing comments, here's Pastor Chuck.
Father, we thank you for the privilege of prayer, the opportunity of casting all of our cares upon you, knowing that you do care for us. And so we come before you today, raising before you our nation, our state, our city, asking, Lord, that you would work by turning the hearts of the people back to that sense of need, the need of God. Lord, there are a lot of people like Asaph who have just about been destroyed by their encounter with the world the past week. Came into church this morning bloody and bruised. Father, I pray that they will have been brought into the eternal perspective, that they might see you, the eternal God, the Creator, and get life in balance. In Jesus' name we pray.
This program is sponsored by The Word for Today, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.